Hallelujah. How's everybody? Bless. Snap. Blessed and highly flavored. Yeah, man. Praise God. This is the night the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Because we have a choice. A choice. 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 Everyone turn to your neighbor and say, good choice. Hallelujah. Matthew 24, please. Matthew 24. These are the days when my Father's ways will be known to men. Woo-hoo. We are seeing things get closer and closer. You know, you just have to turn on the news and find out what's happening, especially what's happening in the Middle East. We're watching prophecy become fulfilled and unfold in multiple ways. In Matthew 24, verse 3, now as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things will be and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age, which is the age of grace. What's going to be the sign of your coming? We're all waiting for the coming of the Lord. The world is waiting for something, but they don't know what. But we know what we're waiting for. We're actually waiting for him to come and get us. That's what we're waiting for. He is not going to touch the earth. We're going to touch him. He's going to say, come. Come. And the world's going to, the whole world's going to hear it and know it. They will see him who pierced, those who pierced him. Who scorned him, who rejected him. They will see him. The world will see him, but he won't touch the earth. And in that, he will call his bride home. And all hell is going to break out here. And there are going to be many people. Now, one of the things about the rapture, it's a sign to the lost. It's going to give them an opportunity. Remember what we talked about, that in this time right now, that we must live out of the spirit, not out of the mind. So we must become beheaded. Because we get either beheaded now or beheaded later. And in this, there is such a specific thing that's going on right now. God is really shaking, squeezing, and awakening in every way he can. He's exposing. And in verse 4, it said, Jesus said, answered and said this. He said, in other words, I'm going to explain to you a little bit about the end of the age of grace, but I'm going to explain to you about when I'm coming. He said, number one, take heed no one what deceives you. That's the first thing he talks about. Don't be deceived. It is the number one thing on his list. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to share seven things that he's warning us about. He said, do not be deceived. In other words, deception will increase. Then he goes, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. He said, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not what? Anybody reading it with me? See that you're not troubled. Don't be troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So we see here that fear, not only will deception increase, but fear will increase. That's the second thing. He said, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and will kill you. And you will be what? You'll be what? Hated. Wow. By all nations for my name's sake. So we see that hatred is going to come. There'll be an increase of hatred towards believers. It says, and then many will be what? Offended. So we got to know that offense is going to increase also. And will betray one another and will hate one another. So we know that betrayal will increase. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound. In other words, lawlessness will increase. The love of many will grow cold. In other words, there'll be a false love. People will no longer love. It will be cold. Their hearts will become hardened. I'm going to call that a cold love. So we've got deception will increase. Fear will increase. Hatred will increase. Offense will increase. Betrayal will increase. Lawlessness will increase. And cold love or false love will increase. In verse 13, he says, but he who endures to the end shall be what? Saved. In other words, we're going to need endurance. These things, these seven arenas are going to increase. Yes, we know that there will be pestilence and so forth, but I'm talking about a personal thing that's going to affect people personally, emotionally, physically. Deception, fear, hatred, offense, betrayal, lawlessness, and cold love or false love. All of these things will increase. They are going to press against you. These are things that are going to try to distract you, cause you to go off course, try to get you into the flesh. He said, but he who endures to the end, or he who endures these afflictions and persecutions, shall be saved. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Hallelujah. Let's speak it together in verse 1. But know this, that what? In the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves and lovers of money. He speaks, now listen, these first two things are vitally important. This is why all of these other things are going to occur, because there's a combination, an adjoining of this, because men will become lovers of themselves, so they will begin to fall into the trap of offense, deception, hatred, betrayal. Does everybody understand it? So he says these two things, love of self and love of money, is going to cause many to fall from the faith. Many. Many to fall from fulfilling the will of God and doing their own will. Many. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, and without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They will have a form of godliness. In other words, they will be able to speak the right words, but the spirit will be wrong. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people do what? Turn away. In other words, he's saying, do not associate. Be careful. Such people turn away. Well, you know, the word says that we know them by their fruits, not their words or their works. How do we know them? By the character of Christ. Why? Everything is compared to the character of Christ. If the fruit is not according to the character of Christ, beware. Amen? Beware. So we need to truly be aware. We need to be awake, and we need to be alert. I'm going to say it again. We need to be aware. We need to be awake, and we need to be alert. And one of the things that's lacking right now, which God is trying to bring us to, is what we call spiritual awareness. Spiritual awareness is like end time awareness. There's an awareness right now where you and I must be sensitive to. It's like being detailed. Lovers of self and lovers of money. These prevent individuals from fulfilling their call of God. Let me share that with you. Without a desire to grow, we become dull. If you don't have a desire to grow, what happens is, he said, because they will become lovers of self and lovers of money, it's going to prevent them, it's going to exchange the desire to grow. And when you don't have a desire to continue to grow, you become dull. You become lukewarm, and you become easy prey. So everybody got this. I'm going to say it again. When we lose that desire to grow spiritually, we become dull. Amen? We become lukewarm, and we become easy prey. In 1 Peter chapter 4, there is an area where God is changing, shifting, moving in multiple areas. Remember, there's three things that are vitally important. We are called to battle. Our purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. And our destiny is to infiltrate the world system and rescue those who have been taken captive. When we've lost any of those areas, we've lost spiritual awareness. And we become dull, lukewarm, and prey for the enemy. Easy prey. So these things must always be before me and you. If you're not considering those things on a daily basis, then you're not spiritually aware. Does everybody get this? In other words, people lose sight of their purpose. They lose sight of their call. They lose sight of their destiny. They're still wondering what they're supposed to do. Here, it's real simple. If you're willing to maintain that arena that you are called to battle, that your purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom, and your destiny is to infiltrate the world system, you will maintain that arena, because to maintain it, you will always want to spiritually grow. Why? Because reality to you is, there is a war going on. And if you're not in the battle, you become a casualty. Amen? Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be what? Be serious. You think serious means being aware, awake, and alert? I would say so. And watchful in your prayers. Why? God is trying to reveal things to me and you, isn't he? And above all things, have fervent love for one another. Why? Because the word says that the love will grow cold, won't it? For the love will cover a multitude of sins. So again, it says, be serious and watchful. Be aware, awake, and alert. What is that again? Aware, awake, and alert. Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Hallelujah. Spiritual awareness, which is actually end time awareness. Did you ever notice that when you ignored something, it came back to bit you? comes back to bite you, right? When we ignore things, see, being aware says you don't ignore it. You don't stick it under the rug. You don't hide it. You don't ignore it. You're aware of it. You're aware of your surroundings. You're aware of the things that are going on spiritually. You're aware of things going on physically. Why? Because you're discerning fruits. You're aware of the times and seasons. And you're awake, ready to hear, and alert, ready to act. Again, when we lose the desire to grow, we become dull. We become lukewarm, and we become easy prey. And it's happening right now. That's why the whole body of Christ is on the potter's wheel. Everybody cries for fire, but when it comes, they run. Lord, change me. Okay, no problem. Oh, not that way. You mean I got to go through another trial? I got to go through this? This just doesn't make sense. It's not going to make sense. It's a place where God doesn't ask for your understanding. He asks for your trust. Hallelujah. Matthew 16 and verse 1, and the Pharisees and Sadducees came, and testing Jesus, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather or the sky is red. And in the morning, if it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Do you know that not only there are the end time signs, but there are signs that God reveals to me and you on a daily basis if we are spiritually aware of things. He's trying to tell us things to come. He's trying to tell us to beware. He tries to tell us that a trap has been set. He tries to tell us all of these things. But again, if we're not having a desire to spiritually grow, if you are content in where you're at, you're in trouble. Does everybody understand that? Then we're what? We become dull, lukewarm, and easy prey. In verse 4, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet of Jonah. And he left them and departed. Now when the disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. But Jesus being what? Being aware. Jesus was always aware of everything. He was aware of the things that were going on around him, that were seen, and the things that were going around him unseen. Because everything, see, God wants to get his children, his warriors, his soldiers, to a place where everything that they see physically, they know that something spiritually is behind it. That's called being aware. And he wants to get us to a place to where we even know ahead of time. See, what happens is people begin to ignore the first sign, the second sign, the third sign, or they even ignore the warnings. Maybe somebody else saw what was going on and tried to warn, and they chose not to take heed. Why? Because they chose not to, they lost the desire to what? grow. Because when you lose the desire to grow, you become dull, lukewarm, and easy prey. One of the things, there's a sure sign always, is the area that the enemy always wants to get you out of God's presence. That is the first sign. I've seen so many people go great and then begin to turn because of influence of, could be a work, a spouse, a fence, whatever it is. I've seen many spouses try to get the other spouse out of God's presence. Because what they're doing is wrong. And they don't want to be exposed. I've seen so many things happen. And what happens is because the desire to want to grow has ceased, that there's contentment, there's compromise, there's complacency, and becomes lazy. And entertainment becomes priority in God's presence. That's a sign right there, let me tell you. No more awareness. There's no more spiritual awareness. They're not even aware of what's influencing them. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Let's go a little further. So he says in verse 6, Jesus said, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have taken no bread." And Jesus said, but Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "Oh, you little faith." What did he say? "Oh, you little faith." In other words, they've lost faith. See, Jesus was aware when people were not walking in faith. That's called spiritual awareness. When a person begins to walk in their own strength, you should know. We should know. There is a sign and a fruit to that. "Oh, you little faith, why do you reason among yourselves?" What's the first sign? He said, why do you what? Reason. That's when a person is no longer walking in the Spirit. He's walking out of the mind instead of in the Spirit. "Why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it that you don't understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread?" He wasn't speaking to them about physical. He was speaking to them about spiritual. What did he say? "But beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware, be spiritually alert, be spiritually aware of the leaven of the bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. In other words, because the word leaven also means evil. So he said, look, they got an evil doctrine. They have an evil scheme. Beware. Beware of evil doctrine that promotes evil schemes. Beware. They weren't spiritually aware. Does everybody get this? This is happening all over. Matthew 26. We want to be aware, awake, and alert. Why? Because it's called spiritual awareness or end time awareness. Matthew 26. Hallelujah. In verse 36, let's speak it together. Then Jesus came with them to the place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." Come on, man, I'm going through it. Watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Let me share with you, that is a cry that should come out of you every single day. Not as I will, Lord. Not my will, your will. Every decision that comes across your path should be always associated with not my will, but your will. Then he came to the disciples and he found them what? Sleeping. And he said to Peter, What? Could you not watch with me an hour? In other words, could you not back me up? Could you not stay? Couldn't you stay aware, awake? Couldn't you be alert and watch out for me while I prayed? Verse 41, he says, Watch and pray lest you what? Enter into temptation. See, without watching and praying, and without praying and watching, without maintaining a desire to grow, we become dull, lukewarm, and easy prey. We no longer become aware, awake, or alert. We are not detailed. We're not looking at all the things around us. We're not seeing things all the way through. Short-sighted. Moving on things that are just arm's reach. Never knowing its ripple effect. Is everybody all right? Oh, hallelujah. Let's go a little further. And again, a second time he went away and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Let me tell you, the enemy's always trying to get you to sleep. He gets you to first compromise. He gets you to reason. The reason is, well, I've done that already. Oh, God knows my heart. Well, I don't need to be at service all of, you know, I can do it once in a while. I can get enough on my own. Wrong. That's called drift. We can't get enough on our own. Does everybody understand that? We get enough on our own to get in. There should be personal revelation, but it should be confirmation. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus prayed and asked the disciples, Help! But they slept. And he says something very powerful in verse 45. And he came to his disciples and said to them, because they were sleeping again. Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is going. The Son of Man is being what? Betrayed. Betrayed. He was aware of betrayal. Does everybody understand that? He was aware of disobedience. He was aware of what his surroundings were going on. And he was going to be betrayed into the hands of the sinners. Rise, let us go. See, my betrayer is at hand. In other words, Jesus was spiritually aware, awake, and alert. That's why he said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it first. And I'm telling you that the Lord is wanting us to be so aware, so awake, and so alert that we don't miss anything. How many times have we missed something and said, man, I missed the Lord on that? And you never know when it's going to come back. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it does. Amen? Psalm 127. Is everybody getting this? Again, I've shared this before. Did you ever, it's amazing. You can pick up any book and No problem. You pick up the Bible or something so associated with true scriptures, and the enemy starts trying to put you to sleep. Hallelujah. 127. Verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the what? The watchman stays awake in vain. Unless we are led by the Spirit, we enter a flawed awareness. Unless we are led by the Spirit, we enter a flawed awareness. And then what we do is actually in vain, because it is a self-direction, not a godly direction. It is a direction that is dictated by self and not by God. And let me share that with you, that when you are not aware, when you are not sensitive enough to this area, you may think you're hearing from God, but everybody else around you knows you're not. 1 Corinthians 15. In verse 33. Is everybody there? It says, do not be what? Deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake, awake, awake. Awake to what? Righteousness. Well, he was warning us. He's saying, look at evil company corrupts good habits. Why? Because if you hang with evil company, what's going to produce? Unrighteousness. If you're hearing evil music, watching evil things, it's going to produce what? Unrighteousness. So he warns us, don't be deceived, be alert. Well, he says awake, so you got to be aware, awake, and alert. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. This I speak to their shame. I speak to their shame. Awake to righteousness. Be spiritually aware of your agreements that you hear. Things that you hear, things that you agree with. Be careful of those things you agree with, because they will promote unrighteousness if it's corruption, if it's evil. They will promote division, and the end result will be hurt, pain, sorrow, grief. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. You may read it with me, please. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as if fitting for saints. Neither filthiness or foolish talking or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Who told you that? Who told you that? Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. All goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. In everything that we do, we need to find out whether it's acceptable to the Lord. If you're not finding out if it's acceptable to the Lord, then you're not spiritually aware. What you're saying, what you're doing, what your decisions are they acceptable to the Lord? If we're not doing that, then there is no relationship. Lord, if what am I doing is acceptable to you? And what am I saying? Is that acceptable to you? Is this decision that I'm making acceptable to you? Or else there's no relationship. It's assumption. Always. Why? Because if you're spiritually aware of things that are going around you, you always want to connect with the one who will guide you to all truth. Always. Because if you're not being guided by truth, then you're being deceived. Amen? So we want to stay aware, awake, and what else? Alert. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. In verse 11, and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. Unfruitful works of darkness. Remember we said we'd know them by their fruit, right? But rather what? Expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest in the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, spiritually sleeping. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because of what? Days are evil. The days are very, very evil. So we need to awake. Losing spiritual awareness will allow the carnal mind and the carnal will dictate your life. The carnal mind and the carnal will dictate your life. In Matthew 15, you know, too many times people are men pleasers instead of God pleasers. And the reason for that is because they're really not finding out what's acceptable to the Lord. They'd rather find out what's more acceptable to man. Because the desire to grow has been diminished, and they become dull, lukewarm, and easy prey. In verse 1, Matthew 15, let's speak it. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. And he answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother. And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift from God. Then he need not honor his father or his mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your traditions. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips. But their what? Their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Teaching the doctrines of the commandments of men. And when he had called a multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. So he says, many people draw near with mouth, but not with heart. Because they live out of their mind and not out of the spirit. They're losing spiritual awareness, causes them to drift, and it causes them to heart become hardened and change. In Matthew 13, in verse 10, Matthew 13, verse 10, spiritual awareness It allows us to be detailed. The disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Because it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance." What's he talking about? Mysteries. Why? Because they maintain a thirst and hunger to grow. They want more. But whoever does not have even what he has will be taken away from him. Because a person loses the thirst and hunger to grow, he begins to drift. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, hello, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, "Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have what? Grown dull." They've grown what? Dull. "Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them." So that I should what? Heal them. In other words, they've allowed influence, infiltration in their lives to deceive, to bring lukewarmness, to bring complacency. And they become dull, lukewarm, and easy prey. Losing awareness, loses sight, loses hearing, and promotes captivity. People begin to lose sight, they begin to lose hearing, they lose the voice of God. And it promotes captivity. They become prisoners of deception. 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse 6 it says, "Therefore what? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober," which means be what? Alert, aware, awake. "Be vigilant," which means consistent. No compromise. That means also disciplined. "Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour by deception. Resist them steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." Everybody goes through it. Everyone's going to be tempted. Everyone's going to be attacked. Don't think it's just you. The enemy presses in every way possible. But the first thing he wants to do is get you to a place where you think you're okay. None of us is okay. He first says, "You're okay." Then he tells you, "Well, you don't need to do that prayer again today. You don't need to pray today. You prayed yesterday." "You don't need the fellowship. You don't need to speak the word today. Come on, just lay it down. You did it all yesterday. God knows your heart." Deception. He just stole the thirst. He exchanged it. He's trying to get you to sell your birthright. Listen, that's why he's called the most cunning serpent, the most cunning beast. He's a fallen angel, and he has offsprings. They're called demons. And he also has physical offsprings. People that are not serving Christ are his physical offsprings. Because if they're not in Christ, they're antichrist. Amen? So we need to be aware, awake, alert, and consistent 2 Timothy chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. Spiritual awareness and time awareness too. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 21. We've heard this multiple times. Let's speak it together, please. Therefore, if anyone what? Cleanses himself from the latter. In other words, removes the stuff, exposes it. He will be a vessel for honor. So we'll be a vessel for honor or what? Dishonor. Sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a what? Pure heart. Those that are thirsty and hungry. Those that want to grow. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach in patience, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Why? Because they lost the desire to grow. Does everybody get that? And when we lose that desire to grow, when we lose that desire to look for revelation, when we lose that desire, we become dull, lukewarm, and easy prey. And I want to close at John 15. John 15. You know, there is on our eternallibrary.org, there's a video called Placebo. I encourage, if you haven't seen it, watch it. It's eye-opening, especially about the second heaven where Satan's throne's at. It'll definitely bring reality. In John 15 and verse 1, would you read it with me? I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. So one of the areas of when you begin to sense bad fruit in yourself or in someone else, there's lack of abiding. And the three lacks of abiding is in prayer, word, praise and worship and assembling. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Why? Because your abiding is bringing his desires, not yours. Remember, Jesus came to fulfill the will of the Father. You and I have been called forth to fulfill the will of the Father, not our will. It's amazing because when we begin to step aside of our will, you know that the angels warfare on our behalf. They do not warfare on behalf of your will, only the will of the Father. So you may be asking things that are not the will of the Father. The angels don't warfare for you. They only warfare on the will of the Father, not on the will of man. Is everybody okay? And so we know that he says, if you ask anything, it's going to come because you're asking for his desire. His desire is coming in you, and you're asking for his will to be done then. By this my Father is glorified that you bear what? Much fruit. So you will be my what? Disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I have said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they keep my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have sinned and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in the law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. In this, abiding is essential. Don't rely on what you did yesterday. What you did yesterday is waiting for you today. What you do today is waiting for you tomorrow. Does everybody understand that? You can't just skip a day. The devil doesn't skip any days. He doesn't take vacation. He's out on bail. Amen? He's out to seek, kill, destroy, steal, manipulate, cause deception, and cause us to drift and not be aware of his presence, of his tactics, or of his evil. He doesn't want you to know he's a part of your life. Does everybody understand that? And he is. He's a part of every one of your decisions. He's a part of every part of our life, as well as the Holy Spirit. Which one are you going to obey? Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for revelation. Thank you for making us spiritually aware that we may maintain a thirst and hunger, not fall into a lukewarm state or compromised state or I know it all state. Because we don't know nothing. Our dependence is on you. Now, Lord, I'm asking that you'll bless each and every one here tonight. Help us walk out of in the spirit, not out of the mind, that we may be a headless warrior carrying the head of Christ all the days of our life. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Be blessed.